Good evening.
Good evening.
The last time I was invited to come and preach, I was on a Sunday like this one, and one elder prevailed that I didn't attend this kind of meeting. We will talk later. I would like to say that this is the first of my experience of something like this. This, in the Baptist circles, is uniquely Ndola Baptist tradition. And I would like to say it's a tradition you don't want to stop. Even if one elder suggests that you stop, you don't. At that point, you disobey eldership injunctions. Luke chapter 1, verse 74 to 79. Zechariah's prophecy, I'd like to call it a celebratory prophecy. And as we reflect on that passage briefly, answer this question. Are you sure you have no reason to praise God? Are you sure you have no reason to praise God? You can change the question. What is it that God has done for you, which you must praise Him for? What is it that God has done for you, that which you must praise Him for? Surely, if you don't know, the fact that you are alive today is something to praise our God for. 74 to 79, the Bible reads. But let's probably pick up from verse 67, and we follow the story properly. And to the end of that section. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his help, his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Are you sure you have no reason to praise God or to bless God? What is it that God has done for you, which you must praise Him for? Why praise or bless God like Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist? Well, we must praise God as Zechariah did for the same reasons in principle Zechariah praised God for. That the things that Zechariah uses or raises in praising God in anticipation of the birth, those are the very things in principle we must chiefly praise God for. But as we reflect on the things for which we must praise God, remember also that song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Every one of us in here have a reason to praise God. But let us first establish the fact that Zechariah did actually praise God. This is not simply something invented. He actually praised his God. Verse 64. As you read the scriptures and back up to that section, you notice that we are told there that's what he did. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. If you're using the NIV, and he spoke, praising God. So we are told in verse 64 that he did praise God. We further read in Luke chapter 1, 67 to 68, and his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord, or praise be to the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Zechariah did praise God. The birth of the Savior is an invitation to praise God as Zechariah did. As we reflect on Christmas, it's not so much about how many chickens we kill. Now, that's not a big deal for some of us. But in Malokota village, that's a big deal. Christmas without chicken, it's no Christmas at all. It's not a chicken. It's not a goat. It's the birth of a Savior. And it is that gift that we celebrate, that we praise our God for. Having established that Zechariah praised God, well, let's very quickly move to why was Zechariah praising God and why we should praise God. Overall speaking, from this portion of God's word, we must praise God because of his redemption. We must praise God because of the salvation that he gives. We must praise God, as we've sung in some songs, because he has set us free. We must praise him because we are a liberated lot. I'm saying because we are. The question is, are you? I am. That much I know. Are you liberated? Are you set free? If you have not benefited from the freedom that the Savior gives, he is told his name is going to be Jesus because he's going to save people from sins. He is God with us, not simply to enjoy living with us, but to set us free. That's why Zechariah praised God. Overall, because of God's redemption, because of God's salvation, at the time, Zechariah, this is a prophecy, he is looking forward to his coming. We are not looking to the future, we're looking to the past. Our language is, he came, he was born, he died, he's coming again. The one who came and died is coming to complete, to take home those that have looked to him, who celebrate Christmas understanding he came to save sinners, and therefore we praise him. Zechariah, for him, this was a future event, but a future event only in months' time. Probably after 9 months, certainly after 9 months, the Savior was born. Listen to the flow of the whole passage, that this is all about redemption. This is about salvation. This is about being set free from sins. Now, the more you talk about sins, some of us don't like to hear about sins. You're probably saying, can't we just continue singing carols and enjoying turkey? We are not Americans, we are Zambians, we enjoy chikanda. So let's look at the text. Here's what it tells us. Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed. He has visited and purchased back. He has visited and set free slaves. He has visited to deliver. He has visited to save. He's visited to give eternal life. That's what Zechariah celebrates. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. That's the overall tone of the text. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. The whole passage is filled with the message of salvation, salvation, salvation. And if we are to pay attention to it, we must be faithful to echo that overriding message that the base of Christ is an announcement that the Savior is available. The question again is simply this. Is this what you are praising God for? Are you praising him because you are saved? Regarding this salvation, may I also give as a reason for praising God that it's not simply spiritual salvation. It's not just salvation from sins. It's a comprehensive and inclusive salvation. It affects all aspects of life. And in the text, here is what we read in verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies. For the Jews, one of the expectations of the Savior was that he will politically save them. He will set them free from the slavery of the tyrannical kings that were ruling over them. So Zechariah is viewing it from that perspective. He says, this is not simply salvation from sins, from our enemies. They are people that hate us. But he continues to say in verse 71, and from the hand of all who hate us. If I ask the question, do you have people who hate you, and you don't raise your hand, you are ready to go to heaven? There are people that hate you. And Zechariah is saying, God is able to save us. Well, let me remind you, because it's in the night, there are wizards out there. But God will save you. There are people whose intentions for your life are evil. But God will save you. There are people who hate you simply because you have a good job. And if it was in their powers, you'd be fired tomorrow. But God will save you. There are people who hate you because of the beauty of your marriage and the handsomeness of your children, especially mine. But God will save you. There are people who hate you for anything. Whatever you dress, whatever you do, they just hate you. But Zechariah celebrates. God will save you. It's not just spiritual. It's comprehensive. You may be on a vehicle. It gets off the road. God grant you not happen. But if it's not your time, God will. We may have a famine. Many may pass on, but God will save you. This salvation is comprehensive. The fact that you are alive today, you have a reason to praise God. Because your being alive is his doing. And Zechariah says he will save you. But quickly, why must we praise him? Because he's faithful and truthful. Zechariah tells us this is what he promised. This is the covenant he told us. In the past, God told us a son. We were reading from Isaiah, a virgin will have a son, the Savior will be born. And Zechariah is saying this Savior is to be born soon and is indicating he's faithful and truthful. Oh, but lastly, we must praise God because he's merciful and gracious. Because he's a merciful God who has shown his abundance and richest way in the birth, in that greatest gift, the coming and the giving of his Son. What is it that you are praising God for? Please praise him if you are saved for your salvation. But not only simply salvation is spiritual, the fact that he protects you, the fact that he shields you from the works of the evil one, the fact that he sustains you, he undertakes for you in all your aspects of life. And if he does that and you do not know him, he's come as a savior. Oh, but he shows mercy to all of us. Won't you praise him? Please do. May God grant that you will. Amen.